It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock. We're not afraid to talk about the third rail is rail. Well, there you go. You know, I gave you up for. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for a long time. I've had Vice President, head of the Zionists of America, I've had on in studio all these guys going the left, the right, and we got it. And it all comes down to, but we need to still take your money so that we can do what we want with it. And nobody ever wants to address that. And you'll find behind every one of these advocacies, it's always a progressive mentality or a, a fascist mentality or whatever mentality is that they have a right to my money. And I just can't get them to, they'll acknowledge it. Well, yeah, but we need to do, it's appalling that we aren't using this money for what it is that they want. And they never will advocate for the human right of I get to keep mine. There's always the advocacy that somebody has a right to what's in my wallet. Until we can get past that, I don't see that we're going to really make any progress. That is what's at the root of all of this stuff. So you can go on to Freedoms, go to Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, and you just see a sea, an ocean of information of how we're being stolen from, and they're using our own money to beat us over the head with it, to justify all of these expenditures that just go on and on and on. These causes, these wars, these occupations, they're not meant to solve anything. They're meant to perpetuate the stealing from me so that they can get it to do whatever the heck it is that they want. I think it's coming to an end, though. I mean, it has to come to an end because it's just history. If you look throughout history, what you find out is that there has always been a revolution when you get to the point to where people just can't give up anymore. When we're an occupied country here. We're being treated as, occupied people all over the world are. You talk about the Palestinians having to go through checkpoints. We go through checkpoints. You're talking about being treated as second-class citizens. Well, the whole country is. You talk about being lied to and bad elections and election fraud and violence and oppressive behavior by those with the uniforms and the shiny badges and the guns. And I'm going, who's going to advocate for us? I remember in 06, I was running for office in the local television station. They give you 3-5 minutes, different ones. You always get to go up and give your spiel, and then they'll play it throughout the election cycle over and over. And the one thing that I go, if you're still voting, I encourage you to vote Libertarian because we're trying to save America because nobody else will. Who is? You know, and do we really think voting is going to do that? How's that working out? And what's the alternative? You know, I'm really becoming more and more in with a younger generation that understands that there is another way. And it's just, you know, just withdraw your support of the system. How you do that, there's a lot of other ways, you know. I mean, I don't want to give any one particular, but it manifests itself in so many ways. You know, she talks about health care. You know, here's a good story. I'll share this with you. I've been wanting to, and this is a good time to do it. Just to give you an idea, okay? I mean, just simple stuff, how it can affect people's lives. It was Thursday night. I was helping my son and my daughter-in-law had just bought a home. They got a good deal here. You know, prices here, probably $250,000 house they bought for $85,000. Well, you know, I think it's still going to go down, but they probably aren't going to get a lower interest rate. So, I don't know, it's $600-something for a nice three-bedroom, two-bath with a swimming pool in a nice part of Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going, well, it's better than paying rent. I mean, you know, you might get stuck there. You're not going to be able to sell it for a while because I think it's that $85,000 house that used to be $250,000, you know, maybe $60,000 here in a year. But you know, hey, you know, if you can afford that and that's, you know, the way you want to go, you know, I tried to talk them out of it, rent for a little while longer. But the interest rate I think they're going to be shooting up. So it might be a good time for them to get their home and cool. While I was over there, they need some help with that. I don't want to get involved with their stuff. Let them do whatever they want. I'll just be a good little slave for you, and I'll go out and help with the lawn. You know, I'll take my little tiller out, and I'll go around and level out the lawn and make it all nice and green for my granddaughter and grandson to be able to go ahead and play and do it. I'll be the lawn guy. I'll get you taken care of there. Okay, because my sons and my kids, they've been, you know, landscapers for me for a long time. I'll do them a solid. Okay, I'm going to go out and help with that. They'll let me do that. So they had a patio in the backyard that had, I don't know what they are, some kind of a vine growth that grew over the, and they wanted to get, you know, rid of the wasps and the bugs and, you know, just take it all off of the house and everything. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, that's good slave labor for me. I'll go out and I'll do that. Well, I come across some wasps. So I go, you know what? It's time to stop. We'll go get some wasp spray. Boom, spray it. Thursday morning, after the show, Thursday night, I go over there and I go, okay, well, I'll pull this down. You know, that was, you know, some of the stuff that was left. And I pull that down. All of a sudden, I get the searing pain up on my quad on my left, up towards my groin area. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was like, oh, a little stinger. I thought it may have been a wasp or something. And I pull it up and everything. It was a spider bite. So I'm going, you know, I'm going on vacation this last weekend. You know, I left early Friday morning. Jet filled in for me. We played reruns on Monday and Tuesday. You know, I was gone. I'm going to California with some friends. Going to do some golfing and everything. I'm going, you know what? I've been looking forward to this for a long time over Labor Day weekend. All I want to do is do some golf and watch some U.S. Open tennis and just hang with some friends. And this spider bite is going to be, because I went through this with my son before. One of my sons got bitten by a spider, and I tell you, man, it can be nasty. You just put in spider bites on a Google search, and you go look at what happens. And you get a brown recluse or any other kind of spider, a lot of them. What happens when a spider bites, that's why they put their prey in a cocoon, because they inject them with the venom, and it just liquefies the inside, and they just slurp it out. They go, yum, I drank my insect, okay? Well, that goes into your skin, and it starts, and it feeds on itself. It just, it'll go, you'll get a big crater like 10 inches wide and 3 inches deep, and I think we got to amputate kind of stuff. I mean, it's nasty. And I knew where this was going, and we went through a big thing with our son. So I'm going, you know, if I wait, by the time I get back, I'm going to have to chop my leg off or something. So I go, all right, there's got to be cures out there. Let's do the spider bite thing. So I go in, and I'll put some pictures up. I'll write an article about it later and so on, because I think this is important people to know this, but I'll share this with you. Spider bite cure, I put in on Google. Well, it goes to a spider bite thing, and all these people send in their stuff and look at my picture of my rotted out, you know, flesh on the yada, yada, yada. And there was a gentleman named Gerard that wrote this long article, and I'm going to share it with you and give you my concern and how this all plays into this government thing. He goes, I got a spider bite on the side of my face, up near his temple. And I was busy, and I couldn't deal with it. I had, you know, emergency things I had to deal with and flying around this. And after about 2-3 days, all of a sudden, I got this big, giant, fleshing pustule eating my side of my face off kind of deal. I can't even sleep. I go to the doctor and take care of me. So he goes, oh, yeah, you need this little shot or whatever. Boom, gives him the shot. Problem solved. Went away. Cool. He has friends later. And the general prescription has been, well, you got to cut it open, dig out the dead flesh, and, you know, and hopefully you just got to live with the crater. What he realized is that most doctors don't know that there is a simple, immediate, take care of it right then cure that most people don't know. And you're being prevented by the government from getting it unless you know about it. I'm going to share that with you because it segues into all this other stuff we're talking about in government. And it's something you should know because it's an important thing. Spider bites are bad, and I'm going to tell you how to do an immediate cure when we come back here and declare your independence in just a little bit.
There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
You know, and I wanted to share some information with you, and as good a time as any, because it's all about I want the human right to be able to, I don't know, do whatever I want in my own self-interest as long as I'm not bothering somebody. You know, and it always wanting to take it. And what do we hear from progressives? It's always they'll pick the worst thing. I mean, it's like a tactic that they use. It's really, I don't think their focus is so much that they want to stop oppressiveness of someone else somewhere else. They use that as a moral argument that we shouldn't be funding or spending money over there when we could be stealing it from you and do what we want over here. And I'm going, oh, you're killing me. And they're talking about health care and education, all this kind of stuff. And every time I can always pick a story out of my, even a lot of times, even recent experience that I can go, you know, it's the government that is in my way. And I'll use a spider bite as an example. Thursday night, I get bit by a spider. I know this is going to destroy my Labor Day weekend, man. I'm just like, oh, man, just, all right, got to get this taken care of. I'm going to get it taken care of. We'll get it taken care of. So I go and I do some research. It didn't take me too long. Within a half hour or so, I'm kind of getting a beat on this thing. There was a gentleman that posted an article on a spider bite website, and he wanted to share this with everyone because it was amazing to him how when he got bit by a spider, he happened to come across a doctor that knew that if you injected right into the bite some type of a cortisone, that it would stop the process. You know, because what spider venom does is it goes in and it's called necro whatever the heck it is. It kills the tissue. And it just, you know, turns into a blobby mass that the spider then slurps up. But there's something in our bodies that it perpetuates, the venom that just keeps, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and some people are more susceptible to it than others. To the point that it's life-threatening, you know, death, damnation, kind of destruction of, let's amputate. So what happened was, after his went away and cured, and he was like, that's cool. He'd have friends that would go through, you know, enormous treatments and in the hospital and amputations. And he's like, wow, this is amazing. He's like, hey, didn't you know that you could do this thing? Well, no, the medical community didn't know this. And he found out, he lived in a rural area of, I think it was Missouri or something. And it was more common amongst vets, people that worked in farm areas, people that would go out and then livestock would be bitten, or they themselves, while in the stalls of the horse or doing whatever, they get a spider bite. They pull out of their kit, you know, a little injection out, do, problem solved, don't even think about it. This was not common knowledge. It's the late 90s, early 2000s, and so on, and he just didn't have the wherewithal to do it. He just, you know, blew it off and so on. There's nothing on the internet. Okay, fine. A decade more goes by, and he goes, look, man, I'm glad you have this site. Let me share my story with you so that you know there's an easy cure for all this. The people are taking care of themselves. They're sharing what they know with other people. Well, heck, man, you know, the medical community don't like that. And a lot of advocates for marijuana, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They're going, hey, man, you got a problem with this, that? Yep, marijuana. No, can't have that. You know, pharmaceuticals, like, no. We don't want, it's just like these wars. They're not meant to be, you know, won. They're meant to be fought. Medicine, you're not meant to be cured. You're meant to be treated. So I'm going, okay. All right. So what did the guy have to say? I said, I'm read it. And it's probably, I don't know, a page, you know, it wasn't very long. I bet the entire article was, you know, 800, 900 words. What he said is he went this way. He goes, I was in the hospital visiting my mother. She was sick, some unrelated thing. And in the bed next to her was this woman that had been there 2 weeks. Doctors coming in, they unwrap her ankle. They dig out all the dead flesh and everything, wrap her back up. And all of a sudden, they're starting to talk about amputation. And he goes, look, I don't want to butt in or anything here, but did you know that there's a treatment for this? There's cortisone treatments that do yada, yada, yada. And even when it's advanced like this, it stops the progression. And you should, you know, share this with them. Well, the doctor, of course, won't have anything to do with it. Eventually, they checked her out. The family said, no, we're not amputating. They took her out. Later they get a letter from her. Thanks for saving my foot and maybe even my life. It was great and wonderful and so on. So he wants to share this treatment with everyone. Let me tell you what it was. There is a high-potency steroid that's used for arthritis and a treatment, and it's called dexamethasone, I think is what it's called. Dexameth. I remember that. It was dexamethasone. It's a cortisone type. It's a real high-powered steroid. Well, all you need is a tenth of a cc. This is like an eighth of an inch of a pencil eraser. You know, I mean, it's just a teeny weeny itty bitty amount. And the instructions were, he goes, you get this stuff, and all you do is you split it up into three little injections. You use, it's very thin substance, like water. So you can use a small needle, like an insulin needle. You won't even feel it. And you just do one third around the bite site. Okay? And immediately it stops it, heals, done. Well, I'm thinking, man, that's what I need. Cool. So I go to bed, little bite, it's a little red. It's not, you know, really doing much. I'm just thinking, I even had a dream while I was sleeping about, you know, how this had grown, you know, because I know how spider bites. I was stressing it. I wake up in the morning, and it's probably at least 5-6 inches across, this big red starting to get kind of ugly, and it's hurting. You know, there's some pain there. I'm going, oh, this is not good. So I took a brown Sharpie, and I had one laying on my desk, and I drew around it, and I wrote 12 hours, and I took a picture of it on my cell phone, on my BlackBerry. Took a little picture, and I go, okay, this is 12 hours. I called a dermatologist that I got like a thing going up to the lakes here and so on. You got like this little rash thing, and a friend of mine suggested I go to him, and he gave me, you know, this cream and so on, problem solved. Okay, cool. Give him $70, and thank you very much, done. So I go, well, maybe a dermatologist, he would have this steroid. I'll just ask him, you know, it's a skin thing. I'll go, hey, do you know about this? Well, he'd already taken off for the weekend. So I can't get him. So I'm going, man, this sucks. I'm going to the weekend. You know, by the end of the weekend, do I have to go to the emergency room and then hope that they'll do this? So what I did is I go, all right, well, I know a friend of mine that is a plastic surgeon. He used to be a geriatrics doctor, you know, treating old people, and he just got so sick of the Medicare, Medicaid kind of government. Got, you know what? I'm going to learn to do breast implants or facelifts or whatever the heck, anything that's not regulated by the government. It'd be, you want it, you give me cash, and we're done. You know, he's one of those, I'm so out of this thing. So I call him, and I said, look, you know, let me come by, and I just want to know, do you have this dexamethasone thing? He goes, yeah, I got that. And I go, I need some. He goes, for what, man? That's, you know, I'm always looking for an opportunity to poke you, man, you know, give you a stick. But, you know, I told him what happened and that, you know, this was just a tenth of a cc. I don't care how bad this stuff is. I mean, side effects of what? I mean, a tenth of a cc, how much damage is that going to do? So he goes, okay, you know, come on by, man. You know, so I sent him the research on it, the links to the websites, and he did some. He comes, he goes, wow, that's it. You know, I never knew that. I thought it was cut and scrape and, you know, and amputate. I mean, you know, I had no idea. Let me know how it works out. So on our way to California, we're on our way to West Valley of Phoenix here. We're going to LA, man. We're on our way. I mean, don't be messing up my golf weekend. Goes in, he goes, ding, ding, ding. I'm in and out in 5 minutes. By the time I get to L.A., it started receding. That next morning, I wake up, done, cured. All I saw was some bruising of where the needle went in and so on. Solved, cured, done. But I can't go get that shot myself. I can't go to the, you know, get it without a prescription. I can't, you know, I have to have a doctor visit. I have to, it's not going to get me high. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to cure a spider bite. And what's the problem with that? No, government's in the way for everybody else. We'll talk about it. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, you know, it's the same battle going on wherever you're listening in states across the nation. And I tell you, you know, the battles that I share with you and other people that I know and coming across and the guests that we have, I'm sure you're feeling a lot of the same thing. And you just change the names and dates and the faces and situations the same. And we're getting to a point in the world that we are going to have to be able to take care of it, because we can do it better ourselves off, certainly with communication, certainly without having barriers of information. I mean, I remember when you had a friend down the street, if they had a medical book, you know, a diagnosis thing, if they had a little bit of information, or someone that, you know, lived in third world countries that had information on how they treated various things. And so, you know, this was information that was valuable. This is, you know, how did the Native Americans deal with, you know, fill in the blank ailments, infections, pains? A lot of it's just nutrition. You know, I'm starting to find that out too. I've been, you know, I keep threatening I'm going to do it, but I'll get to it. I wanted it to be a full year, and it's coming up here pretty quick in just a month or two. That, I think it was October that I started doing the juicing thing. I probably do 10 meals a week. You know, my wife has a juice for me in the morning and sends me one, or comes down with one to the studio for lunch, or she sends it with me in the morning. I put it in the refrigerator here and do that. And it really has made a big difference in the way I feel and not getting sick. Not getting sick is good. My flexibility is a lot better. You know, my joints are bad. I don't take glucosamine chondroitin anymore. Man, I had to buy stock in those companies. I mean, I couldn't believe how much it was, $30 a bottle for that stuff. I'm like, seriously, at Sam's Club? I mean, dang. You know, and it worked, you know, but, you know, there was something else fun. And you know, I wasn't losing weight, really, you know, no matter how much I would exercise or diet or something, because I always felt that I wasn't getting enough nutrition. And I used to be an athlete in high school. I was a pole vaulter. I wrestled, played football, you know, I was in student council, you know, I got decent grades, you know, I took care of myself. I'm, you know, redheaded, freckle-faced individual that, you know, had to, you know, look good in my body because I'm redhead and freckle-faced. I mean, I was motivated. You know, so I got to know my body. You know, I could tell when I, you know, you want to know about dieting, man, wrestle. And I could tell when I was getting the right nutrition. You know, you're hungry for a reason. What kind of foods had the greatest impact on providing you nutrition, and you weren't hungry without giving you a lot of calories. So, I mean, I can tell you how many calories are. Egg, 75 calories. Slice of bread, 75 calories. Slice of bacon, 75 calories. I got those down, man. You know, this. So you give me anything, I can tell you what the calories and how much fat is in and all that kind of stuff there. But you know what? The juicing thing, I just feel a lot better. So, I mean, I still eat more than I should for dinner, so we're going to try and do another juice at night, maybe curb that a little bit. And then on the weekends, I might go with my friends and so on. So, you know, I'm not Puritan about it, but I tell you what, you know, I'm taking care of myself because I'm 49. I got grandkids. I want to enjoy this stuff. I want to be able to run around with them and so on. I want to be able to help with my son's lawn. I want to be able to, you know, just enjoy life. Now that my kids have moved out, yay, I got a life, you know, that can center around my wife and I. And, of course, we see our kids more now than we ever did when they were living there. But, the, you know, this is, we're going to have to start to embrace the concept of taking care of ourselves. So, but the things happen, you know, like spider bites. The idea, I mean, even the doctor that I go to, you know, I went to a friend, you know, he's going, I go, you know, it just bothers me that I couldn't go to the pharmacy and get this myself. Heck, I couldn't go to, who did I call first? Let me tell you who I called first. Called the vet store. I go, you know, hey, do you got this? I go, you can get penicillin there. Get tetracycline in powder form. You can go get, you know, hypodermic needles. You can go get injectable penicillin that's exactly the same as what you get at a hospital. It just says, not for human use. Same thing, just for, you know, because we love pigs, cows, and chickens more than we do you. Oh, okay. You know, I share this with you because, you know, when it gets, you know, are you going to be the one that has penicillin at your house? Enough tetracycline powder that you can make gallons of it? You know, this is, and what are you scared of? Oh, but you use that a lot and you would create resistant strains that blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, you know, when I need it, you know, I'll risk it. Not that I do this, of course. That might be illegal. Just you can. So I expressed my concern, you know, to the doctor, and he's a, you know, free oriented guy. Yeah, you know, he goes, I don't know, man. This stuff is pretty powerful stuff. You don't want to be, it's got a lot of side effects. You got to go a tenth of a cc, seriously. No, no, that's not going to do anything. But, you know, but stop amputation from a spider bite. Okay. Well, you know, can I have the freedom to be stupid? I mean, you know, the freedom to take care of myself. So I saved my vacation and that of my wife from a tenth of a cc of a cortisone shot, of a little bit of a steroid. Not by a doctor, but maybe you don't have a doctor friend. If we don't embrace the concept that we own ourselves, we're destined to have these problems that take emergency care, that take you having to wait till you're sick enough to get treatment in a hospital. So what's their solution? The progressives will come in every single time. And they'll point out a problem about our money going to fund some war or occupation or a bad regime or anything else when that money should be stolen from you to use the way that they think it should be. When all you really had to do was to provide the freedom of the individual, one, not to be stolen from, and for them to act on information that they take, you know, with their own responsibility. I do some research. You know, you have people that, I don't know, who do I trust? You know, I it's really up to me. You know, do I trust hundreds of people that have benefited from advice of someone and they share their stories? And you look at the comments on spiderbite.whatever it is. You know, this is the point that I'm making. You know, we're not allowed to be free. We're not allowed to benefit from freedom. And the end result of this is death in so many different ways. Slow death, state-sponsored death, you're subsidizing it, death, and creating a generation that has experienced this and who stopped it, who protected them, who warned them. It wouldn't, you know, and I'll be doing a show when I get time on the Pat Tillman Story, the movie, this weekend while we were out there. That was one of the things I said, look, I got to go see this movie this weekend because I wanted to, you know, be prepared for you guys. And the first chance I get, well, we got a good hour on this thing. We have producers trying to get a schedule. I think it's next week they're coming on, the director of the movie is going to come on the show and we'll talk about it. But the as dark as that movie was about the line of Pat Tillman, he was a Cardinal football player here. He went to ASU. He was a big football star. He was a defensive player. I think he was a safety here at the Arizona Cardinals. And he gave up millions of dollars in a contract to go join the Army, to go be a special forces in Afghanistan and Iraq. And one thing that I didn't know was he was on part of the rescue mission to go get Jessica Lynch. Remember the young girl that went down blazing in a battle of blah, 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 and tortured and raped and all that. And none of that was true. It was all for cameras, and Tillman knew it. He goes, what a theater. What a lie. This is so effing illegal. Then he goes to finish his tour out, and he could have got out. NFL had a deal worked out. He did his bit. He could come back because of some kind of loophole. They could get him out. He'd go play football. Nope. Him and his brother both are in the same unit. Goes back. He gets killed, and they try to use him as a recruiting poster for, they lied about the whole thing, and come to find out he was killed in friendly fire. And they just messed with the wrong family. And what was inspirational about the movie, as dark as it was, is they went as high as they could. Got, you know, the Secretary of Defense, Rumsfeld up there, a bunch of generals before Congress, and it just showed how broke the system was. It just didn't work. But they did all they could, and people learned from it. This show is about making sure that you are presented with another philosophy, another alternative. Because what do you get from the right and left? It's always about how much better they can spend your money. They'll argue over what's happening and so on, and I'm advocating for freedom. Let me just be free. Let me take care of myself. And whatever bad happens, it then becomes my responsibility, my fault. That's the whole purpose of government, is for me to be able to make the mistakes and learn from them.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, on Liberty News Radio, around the country. Well, you know, one thing I wanted to make sure that I got in before the end of the show is my daughter saw this speech given by a war veteran, and she was real enthusiastic about me watching. I had seen it before, and I think after talking about all the war and spending in my name and all this, you know, we should give voice to one of the guys that's been doing it and then comes back. There's a thing they call Winter Soldier that they did in after Vietnam or during that. And they had the soldiers just tell their stories. Well, the American people never heard any of this stuff until then, and it just really had a big impact. And the big story, of course, was the My Lai, where it was just, what was that gentleman's name? It was Hunter. And he was the helicopter pilot lieutenant that, you know, got down between the people and the troops that were just laying waste to this women and children and people of this village. And he saw what was going on, and he got the guys on the 50 going, man, don't, you know, oh, heck no, this stops. And he became a hero later, of course. And it was called the My Lai incident. We've had Adam on Charles' show before, and we made a big deal when he died. And there's always someone that comes out. Well, now it's not just these isolated incidences that are coming out, along with WikiLeaks and people that are giving this information, because it's all digitized. It's put in email. It's in files. It's video. You know, this stuff will get out a lot easier than it was to have the New York Times and other newspapers printing 7,000 pages of the Pentagon Papers. You know, now you can get, you know, 100,000 pages of, you know, fill in the blank, whatever's going on. And we have people going, oh, Iran, they're funding, they're giving money to the Taliban. Well, so's the U.S. for years. One of the big complaints last week, they had a story up there that they were complaining that they ran out of money for payoffs that the U.S. military was giving to the Taliban. Oh, we can't secure the safety of whatever. We ran out of money to give the Taliban and her pallets of cash. I mean, it's just craziness. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Well, the next generation, they're really starting to see this. And it's just it's 4 minutes. You know, we can share some time with a young man telling you about his experience in war.
And I tried hard to be proud of my service, but all I could feel was shame. And racism could no longer mask the reality of the occupation. These were people. These were human beings. I've since been plagued by guilt anytime I see an elderly man, like the one who couldn't walk, who we rolled onto a stretcher and told the Iraqi police to take him away. I feel guilt anytime I see a mother with her children, like the one who cried hysterically and screamed that we are worse than Saddam as we forced her from her home. I feel guilt anytime I see a young girl, like the one I grabbed by the arm and dragged into the street. We were told we were fighting terrorists. The real terrorist was me, and the real terrorism is this occupation. Racism within the military has long been an important tool to justify the destruction and occupation of another country. It has long been used to justify the killing, subjugation, and torture of another people. Racism is a vital weapon employed by this government. It is a more important weapon than a rifle, a tank, a bomber, or a battleship. It is more destructive than an artillery shell, or a bunker buster, or a Tomahawk missile. While all those weapons are created and owned by this government, they are harmless without people willing to use them. Those who send us to war do not have to pull a trigger or lob a mortar round. They do not have to fight the war, they merely have to sell the war. They need a public who is willing to send their soldiers into harm's way. They need soldiers who are willing to kill and be killed without question. They can spend millions on a single bomb, but that bomb only becomes a weapon when the ranks in the military are willing to follow orders to use it. They can send every last soldier anywhere on earth, but there will only be a war if soldiers are willing to fight. And the ruling class, the billionaires who profit from human suffering, care only about expanding their wealth, controlling the world economy, understand that their power lies only in their ability to convince us that war, oppression, and exploitation is in our interest. They understand that their wealth is dependent on their ability to convince the working class to die to control the market of another country. And convincing us to kill and die is based on their ability to make us think that we are somehow superior. Soldiers, sailors, Marines, airmen have nothing to gain from this occupation. The vast majority of people living in the U.S. have nothing to gain from this occupation. In fact, not only do we have nothing to gain, but we suffer more because of it. We lose limbs, endure trauma, and give our lives. Our families have to watch flag-draped coffins lowered into the earth. Millions in this country without health care, jobs, or access to education must watch this government squander over $450 million a day on this occupation. Poor and working people in this country are sent to kill poor and working people in another country to make the rich richer. And without racism, soldiers would realize that they have more in common with the Iraqi people than they do with the billionaires who send us to war. Threw families onto the street in Iraq, only to come home and find families thrown onto the street in this country, in this tragic and unnecessary foreclosure crisis. We need to wake up and realize that our real enemies are not in some distant land, but not people whose names we don't know and cultures we don't understand. The enemy is people we know very well and people we can identify.
The enemy is a system that wages war when it's profitable. The enemy is the CEOs who lay us off from our jobs when it's profitable. It's the insurance companies who deny us health care when it's profitable. It's the banks who take away our homes when it's profitable. Our enemy is not 5,000 miles away. They are right here at home. If we organize and fight with our sisters and brothers, we can stop this war, we can stop this government, and we can create a better world.
Okay, now what was the theme that you heard throughout that whole thing? The same that we've heard from our guest today. You know, the money should be spent on this other stuff. That's been my mission for a long time. It's going on 22, 23 years. I understood as a young man that the capacity to do these things was the ability to take and spend the money in the first place. You're not going to be able to compete for a humanitarian use of the money when you got the military-industrial complex and the empire, New World Order, you know, fascist government of, or statist, or communist, or socialist, whatever. You know, they're always going to advocate for the noble cause spending of your money. I'm glad that this next generation has this ability to see what war really does, what the in the name of everyone they're doing around the world with our money in this empire that we've created, because it's coming to an end. My problem with it is that they use this, they, those, or those that just want to be left alone, there are those that just won't leave them alone. And there's going to be a new generation of those that won't leave us alone and feel justified still in the taking of our money, just spending it differently. They decide. That's why whether I expect there would be no government or not, or how small it would be, or how relevant it would be in your life and how local it would be and all that, that doesn't matter. You know, what I want to inject into our thought process is that, as the Declaration of Independence said, if you're going to have a government, you can tell by a simple, simple test whether it's good or bad, just or not just, beneficial to have around or not. Is it protecting your individual rights? And we keep hearing a lot of these groups that go, the human rights of somebody over there being violated, when we need to use that money to perpetuate equality. You hear equality a lot. I'm going, equal protection under the law, I'm all hip to. But I'm the most important, smallest minority to advocate for is the individual. Is the individual being advocated for, their human rights being protected, when it's the very entity that's supposed, that's justified for their existence, that's the one that's stealing it from you? Fill in the blank with whatever the issue is. Immigration. You know, we have Frosty on yesterday, 2 hours, man, going at it. Going at it. You know, well, you know, it's okay to oppress and take and money for this, but not for this. And I'm going, you know, you're taking my money to put into a welfare state, a warfare state that's funding all this stuff. And the solution is so simple. It's so obvious. It makes you want to pull your hair out that you can't get people to see it and advocate for it. Stop stealing my money. Barry Hess, my friend and libertarian candidate for governor here in Arizona, always says, he goes, hey, theft by government is still theft. And until we understand that and advocate for the proper role of government is to protect mine, until we understand that, you're just going to be fighting the battle for the bad guys, just from a different side. Because what's the one thing they all agree on? That the money in our wallet is theirs. Stop advocating for it. I'm just trying to help. We'll talk to you tomorrow.